Good evening. It's a blessing to be here and to be gathered with God's people. At home, when I say good evening, they say good evening back. So, good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together and to look into God's Word. And, you know, I figured there would be a lot of similarities in this, even though I don't know you all. I don't know if you, I'm sure you knew this, but we're double related. All of us here was in the devil's family, and we've been adopted into God's family. And so we have a lot in common. We have a lot of flesh and blood and a lot of things that we work with. And maybe some of you kind of wondered, well, what's this guy going to look like? And recently I was somewhere up north, and the guy said, I thought you would be like real short and tiny. Well, he was wrong, you know. Kind of blew his impression, but, you may have wondered how I was going to look, and I maybe kind of wondered how you were going to look, but this is how I look, and this is how you look. And, you know, we really didn't come this week to try to be something that we're not. We want to worship the Lord with you all. And I would just invite you all to be yourself. And let's worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. So one of the things that I want to challenge us with this week is to be intentional. Okay? Intentional. Intentional is something that our society lacks in. We're not very intentional. Now, a lot of people have good intentions, okay? But good intentions don't do you any good unless they become intentional, okay? Good intentions do us no good if they're not intentional. So I believe tonight that a lot of people miss glory because of, a lot of people who had good intentions miss glory because they were never intentional with their good intentions. Does that make sense tonight? And when I ask you a question, this means yes, this means no, okay? So does that make sense tonight? Yeah. Yes, it does. And so to be intentional is very important. Probably been 1 to 2 years ago now, I don't know, I stood in front of the church and I said, I'm tired of standing in front of you as a congregation and saying that I need to pray more. I said, I'm going to start praying more. You see, we can go all through our life and have good intentions and, you know, well, we'd like to get this done and we'd like to get that done and all these different things. And I appreciated what the brother shared that, you know, throughout this week, night after night, if you don't intentionally cut a few other things out of your life, you will become very weary. Okay? It seems like that sometimes in the time, or often in the days and the times that we live in, we try to cram as much into our lives as we can, and that's not being very intentional with our Christian life. So I challenge you, I don't know what that is, but you know, sometimes people tell me what you have to cut out, but sometimes people will say things like, well, you know, I'm going to pray more, and I need to pray more, so I'm going to start getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning so that I can pray or whatever. But you know, you can't go to bed at 12 o'clock at night and routinely and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. You see? So instead of sometimes cutting things out of this life and out of the kingdom of this world, we just try to implement some of the kingdom of God. And this week we're going to be talking about the value and the importance of the kingdom of God. Okay? And I think God has been laying on my heart the last number of years in a greater way the value and the importance of the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge you tonight. If you don't have to say this out loud right now, but you know, if I was to ask you this question, what is one or maybe the most or one of the most valuable things to you in life, what would you say? You don't have to answer that, but what would it be? You know, we buy and sell things and don't buy things or don't sell things because maybe we think that the value of it is either worth more than that or not worth that. You know, if you want a new pickup truck and you go to the dealership, you got to decide whether that truck is more valuable to you than the $50,000 that it's going to cost to buy it, okay? So you got to make a choice, right? What's more valuable to me, that $50,000 or those $500 a month payments or the pickup truck? So you see, we make choices in life. And we constantly make choices like that. And so I believe that we make a lot of choices in this life that sometimes we cheat ourselves out of true value. We live in a time of great busyness. We live in a time that if we want to know how many McDonald's there is in the U.S., we just ask our phone and it tells us. If we want to know this or that, you know, we ask Google or whatever and all these different things, and it tells us. And we become very custom to finding things easily and quickly. Okay? Sometimes I almost feel a little bit under pressure. You know, if someone sends me a text, if you don't respond almost immediately, it's like, where were you at? I mean, well, I already did. I already got somebody. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, you know, it's like if a text doesn't come back in 2 minutes or 5 minutes, it's like, man, we thought you skipped the country. You know, because we've become accustomed to now, you know. And I want to challenge us, and I'm going to continue to challenge us through this week as we go through revival meetings, that unless you are intentional with your Christian life, you will not have a victorious Christian life, okay? If you are not going to be intentional with it, it's not going to just happen, okay? Good marriages just don't happen, okay? We have to be intentional. Phenomenal athletes who are at the top of their whatever they do, it doesn't just happen, okay? They are intentional with it, and they go after it, and they dedicate their life to it because they're intentional. You know, sometimes I have the choice to make. You know, the brother said that I do enjoy doing some hunting, and sometimes I wake up in the morning and it's kind of cold and I start to weigh the value, the price of this. You know, this feels pretty nice in the house. You know what I mean, brother. But then your boys want you to go with you, right? So, okay. You know, but, you know, so you start to weigh the value of, man, you know. Yeah. But, well, I want to tell you that the most precious thing to me tonight that I believe is priceless, that I cannot put a price tag on, is truth. If you don't have truth tonight, you don't have anything. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. So I believe that the most valuable thing that I have available to me is truth. Now, I can say that, but how I respond to truth and how I pursue truth shows whether I really believe that or not, or if that's really truth in my life, okay? And so I want to ask you tonight, how much do you value the kingdom of God, okay? When John the Baptist began to preach with Jesus coming, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so I want to challenge you throughout this week that I believe that when we see the value of the kingdom and we become a kingdom lifer, like I like to say it sometimes, a kingdom lifer. And I, when I was studying for that, I thought, is lifer a word? But it is. Look it up. You don't have to ask Google, but it is. Yeah, a kingdom lifer. You know, when someone is a lifer, they say he's a lifer. That means that he's never going to get out of prison. He's going to always be inside those walls. Okay? He's a lifer. There's nothing going to change. No matter what happens out there, no matter what happens over here, he is in prison for life. Okay? And when we come into the kingdom of God, I believe that I know that God desires that we become a kingdom lifer. And you know, tonight I don't believe in eternal security, but I do believe that the only person that can take me out of the hand of God is myself. Okay? Nothing else. So yes, in one aspect, I do believe in eternal security, because the Word of God tells me that if I walk faithfully with Him, I am eternally secure with Him. Okay? But it's my choice. It is my choice to be a kingdom lifer. And so I ask you tonight, what is the value of the kingdom to you tonight? Would you be willing to give up anything for the kingdom of God? I am told that when an Olympic swimmer goes to the Olympics, they do some things there that I wouldn't feel comfortable with, and I'm not necessarily advocating that, but they do everything possible to win a gold medal. They shave their hair off of their body, off of their arms, off of their legs, off of their head, so that As they swim through that water, the least amount of hindrance can be there. Because maybe just a hundredth of a second is between first and fourth. Just bam, bam, bam. I don't know the man really, but I heard a little bit about a number of years ago, I believe it was Michael Phillips, was he a swimmer in the Olympics? I think so. Yeah. Yeah. That he had won several gold medals, and in one of the races he was winning, and instead of taking one more final stroke, he just coasted in and he got third place. Because he thought he had it won, and he just coasted that last little bit and got second or third place or whatever it was. Because he relaxed at that last brief second and didn't have that gold medal. How precious is the kingdom of God? You turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 this evening. Children, I'd like to give you, if you'd like to do this, or you can do this as adult too, if you adults, but Galatians 5, let's turn to Galatians 5. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in here, but I want to read to you the contrast of the two kingdoms, okay? The two kingdoms of God, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, are enemies, okay? They're enemies. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, they are enemies, and they will never, ever become allies, okay? You can try all you want. Sometimes countries are at odds at each other, and then the leaders go talk together, and all of a sudden they kind of work some things out, or at least they ice some things over and hide some things or whatever, and all of a sudden they're allies. Well, that's never going to happen with God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world. And neither will it ever happen with your flesh and with the Spirit of God that is inside of you, okay? Your flesh will never become good. Your flesh has to die, okay? My flesh never becomes good. My flesh never becomes more like God. It never says, oh, well, this isn't so bad. Maybe God and I can be friends. No, the Spirit of God comes within me, and it overpowers my flesh, and I feed the Spirit of God, and because I feed the Spirit of God, my flesh starts to die. Does that make sense tonight? It doesn't become more like God. No, our flesh will never become more like God. Our flesh is an enemy to God. And the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, they're enemies to one another. It's not a playground. It's not that somehow we can bring these two kingdoms together, and somehow when it's all said and done, they're going to be allies. No, they have been enemies since the fall, and they will be enemies until the end, okay? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. I don't know what you think of when you think of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, but somebody once had a topic and they asked me, this must have been in 2013 or something, because they asked me, what's worldliness in 2013? And I thought about that a little while. I don't know if I ever got back to them or not, but I thought about that, and I thought, you know, worldliness in 2013 is the same thing that it was in 1913. I wasn't alive then either, but yeah, it's thinking that is contrary to the thinking of God. Now think about that. That's what worldliness is. It's thinking that's contrary to the thinking of God. You see, the mind of Christ thinks totally different than the mind of this world. Now, that affects all kinds of areas of our life, but why do you think Paul writes, have the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ. Well, I want to read these verses here just to give you a picture a little bit of the two kingdoms, okay? Galatians chapter 5, let's begin reading at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know what? I never gave you your assignment, did I, children? Sorry about that. Let's stop here just a moment. I don't give mandatory assignments, but if you get a chance, sometime tonight or tomorrow, take this passage right here, and on one side of your paper, either type it or write it or however you want to do it, but put the kingdom of this world, and then on this side, put the kingdom of God. And then list the things that it says in here that are of the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Adults, if you do that, if you want to do that, put it side by side. I have an overhead, I don't have it with me, that has it side by side. And then I would like you to look at that, and then I would like you to ask yourself, which one of those can be interchanged? But children, do that if you get a chance. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of this world, just take the words right out of this passage that we are and write them down side by side, and then see if any of those in there can be switched back and forth. Okay, let's read. "For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do those things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now, I don't think he made a mistake, but now he starts to get into some that, wow, okay, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies. Does that ever happen in Pennsylvania? Are any of these things ever hear of any of these things in Pennsylvania? Sure we have. I know there's plenty of it in Indiana. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not does he only say that these things are things that we should improve on and do better. He says, if these things are in our lives, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward, that if these things are in us, these fleshly things, and I do believe in the grace of God. I don't believe it means that sometime we slip up, and I don't believe that we're in and out, okay? I don't believe we're in and out three times a week, okay? I believe that the mercy of God is there, and when we fail and we make it right and we go on, that we can be free in Him. But we must be careful with that, because if we willfully sin, at some point it says He cuts us off of the vine, okay? But it says that if these things are in us, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, I hear people say, well, you know, my dad was an angry man, and okay. We make a lot of excuses for things. Okay, so that's the flesh. Now look at the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. So we have these two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God, and we have the kingdom of this world. I just read to you straight from the Word of God what God says is in those two different kingdoms. And some of those things come pretty close home. But yet, God says that I want you to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit of God, and I know that's a term that has been really carried away and whatever, but I tell you what, when you truly walk in the Spirit of God and you obey the commandments of God, in fact, you shouldn't even have to say that, okay? Because when you walk in the Spirit of God, you will obey the commandments of God, okay? We shouldn't even have to say that, okay? But walk in the Spirit, and it says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So anytime when I satisfy and fulfill the lust of my flesh, it is because at that moment, in that area, I sidestepped the Spirit of God and I walked in the flesh. Yeah. He says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. See, they're enemies. They're never going to become one. And you know, the kingdom of God is so interesting. How many of you ever read David Brousseau's book, Secrets of the Kingdom? I appreciate that book. I don't know David Brousseau real well. I've met him a time or so, but that book has been challenging to me. And I haven't found anything in it that I don't feel comfortable with. I found it convicting, and I find it life-changing. But Secrets of the Kingdom. I want to challenge you tonight that there are secrets of the kingdom that you will never learn unless you are intentional with your Christian life. Okay? Now, when we think of secrets and mysteries, we kind of tend to think that, you mean, it's like it's a secret that we can't hardly find? No. But it's a secret and a mystery to those who do not open themselves up to the heart of God. Okay? So a man, a lukewarm Christian, will never truly understand the mystery and the secrets of the kingdom of God. A man of this world cannot understand it because it's like, how? You know, the Bible is full of paradoxes. And a paradox is it almost seems like it's contradictive. Like Jesus said, you know, if you want to find life, you have to die. Think about it. If you knew nothing about God and someone came to you and said, if you want to teach your child to stop hitting, spank him. Now think about that for just a moment. Really, think about that for just a moment. But we know, because we have been part of the kingdom, that when that is done in a right way, it brings results. But to a person of the world, they're like, what? You see, the story is told, and I believe it's a true story, and I don't have all the facts, but I want to try to portray it to you well enough that you'll get the thought of this, but the missionary, he decided that there was this missionary, rustic missionary lodge up in the mountain that he had decided that he wanted to go to. And it took a number of hours to get up to this. It was just foot trails. You had to walk all the way. And so he had several hour journey ahead of him. So he started out early in the morning, and as he started to go, he noticed that after he had went a little ways that it began to rain. But he had several hours to go, several thousand feet of elevation to climb. And in the back of his mind, he knew that as he climbed that elevation and where he was, that the rain would turn to snow. Okay? And he had not come prepared to face a snowstorm. He just had a light jacket on, but he continued on. And at noontime, he was about half the way to his destination. And he stopped for just a little bit and ate a little bit of food that he had with him. But he knew that he had to keep going on because if he stopped, he wouldn't make his destination by dark. And so he went on a little bit farther, and he ran across a monk who also was traveling up to that lodge for missionaries and things that were just kind of a little getaway and a quiet time. And so they decided that they would walk together. And as they were walking together, the snow began to fall. And it began to fall heavy. And neither of them was prepared. Neither of them, as they walked along, was prepared for a snowstorm. Okay? And so both of them knew in the back of their minds, if they didn't press on hard and without stopping and continue on, that they would never make the lodge before they froze to death. So they were hurrying along. And as they were hurrying along, the missionary, he heard a noise along the road, the path over here. So he stopped and he went over to the path, and there laying under, partially covered with snow, was a man groaning in pain, saying, "Would someone please help me?" This man had fallen off one of the ridges up higher, and he had fell down and had broken his leg. Now the goal was to reach the destination, Okay? So the missionary, he said, hey, he said, don't worry, friend. He said, me and my monk friend over here, he said, we will make sure that we get you out of here. And he looked over at the monk. And the monk, you know, maybe he looked up at the thousands of feet, a couple thousand feet yet or so they had to scale to get to the lodge. And he said, you know, he said, I would love to help, but he said, if I stop and help, he said, we'll all die. And none of us. So he said, I'm going to go on. Well, the Christian missionary, he thought, wow, I can't leave this man here. And the man was kind of a small, slender man that had fallen and hurt himself. And so the missionary did the only thing that he could do. He said, okay, friend, he said, I'm going to get you on my back. And then he said, I want you to throw my cloak over the top of both of us. And he said, we're going to press on towards the lodge. So with a struggle and some groaning and some pain and some whatever, they finally got the man up on his back, and he started on up the hill. And the snow was terrible, and it was snowing. And he had several hours of journey yet. And he trudged on, and he became weary and more weary, and just about to the point where he thought, man, I can't make it. But, you know, at just about that desperate moment, as he rounded the corner, up ahead a ways, he could see the light of the lodge. And so that gave him an added determination. Even though he had a ways to go yet, he could see the light. And so it gave him added ambition, and he continued to plow on with this man on his back. And as he went, suddenly he tripped over something in the trail. And he thought, what was that? And he stopped and went. He left the man down in the snow, and he said, I'll be right back, friend. He let the man down, and he walked back. And there laying on the trail was the monk, dead. He had froze to death. He felt his pulse, nothing there. So he went back to the man and picked him up and finished their journey up to the lodge. And you see, the missionary began to think about that as time. Of course, when he was in the middle of it, he didn't digest all this. But after they made it up there and he started to relax or whatever, he thought, now that's interesting. Why did I make it carrying a man, but the monk froze to death? Are you starting to see the paradox in this? Jesus said, if any man will save his life, he'll lose it. And if any man will lose his life, he'll find it. So as this missionary, as he put this man on his back, and the cloak went over top of him, and the extra heat and thing that happened from carrying him kept him from freezing, as the monk who had said, I'm going to save my own life and forget about you guys, he died. If you are not intentional with your Christian walk tonight or throughout the rest of a life, you will never understand the mystery and the secret of laying down your life for others and the life that that brings when we do that. Sometimes in our churches we have a lot of life, but it's the wrong kind of life. Sometimes in our marriages, we have a lot of life and a lot of love, but it's a lot of love for ourselves, a lot of life for ourselves. The secrets of the kingdom of God and is a broken heart before God. And you know, when is the last time? I'll ask you this. When is the last time that you went in before God and you cried out before God and you said, God, I want to know the secrets of your kingdom? You don't have to say it in those words. You understand that. But God, I want to be intentional with my walk with you. I want to pursue you. I want to seek you. I want to know the secrets and the mysteries that only those who dig into your word and those who find time in prayer find. Now, one of the mistakes that people make is, listen, there's not going to be any new truth revealed to you, okay? Because truth has already been revealed, but there will be a much greater understanding of what the truth is, okay? Some people misunderstand that and they start saying, well, God told me, even though it goes against the word of God, well, God told me this and God told me that and God said this and God said that. No. When you become intentional with your walk with God, you will go to His Word and you'll read a passage and you'll say, what's in here for me? God, show me in my life. What are you saying to me here in this passage? Is my life lining up to this passage? You know, I believe that when I understand the value of truth, I will be willing to give up anything to have it. Okay? You know, to me, sometimes when I go to an auction and there's these old antiques there and these people are bidding these things up and I think, what? Wow. They probably look at me sometimes when I'm bidding on a bow, right? And say, what the world, you know? But you see, if I don't see the value of something, it really isn't that valuable to me. That's pretty elementary, but it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Turn with me to Matthew. And Jesus gave a parable of this in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus gave a parable of this in verse 44. He said, the kingdom, chapter 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I was studying this a while back, and I don't know what all Jesus was saying by this, but I wasn't alive in the Depression, but, you know, people that had money in the banks and stuff during the Depression, they lost a lot of money, and they lost their faith in the banks and things. And so, you know, they would maybe sometimes just take their money and take it out into the field and bury it. And, you know, back in Bible times, there probably wasn't a lot of banks and that type of thing. I don't know what all they had, but I think it was pretty common that when someone had a treasure, they would go out all alone and they would find a place and they would dig up the ground and they would place this treasure in there. Maybe it was wealth, maybe it was, I don't know what it was, you know, and they would cover it back up and nobody but them knew where it was. And you know, sometimes they would pass away on suddenly, or they would die and they would leave that treasure there. And nobody else knew where it was. Or maybe sometimes an enemy would invade the land and they would drive them out and there that treasure remained in the field and nobody knew where it was. Well, Jesus, and so they understood what Jesus was talking about here. He said one time a man was out, a servant was out or whatever, and he was working in the field and he came across something that was to him was priceless. And it says that he covered it back up. He hid it. And he said, that he went and he says that he sold everything that he had in order to buy that piece of property. Now, he may have went to that owner and, you know, I don't know what property sold for then, but, you know, he may have went to the owner and he said, I want to buy that field. And I have this amount of money. And the owner said, no way. And he said, what would it take? Oh, he said, it's not really for sale. But no, he said, really? He said, and it says that he went and sold everything that he had. Today we'd say he went and got, he emptied out his CDs. He emptied out his Anabaptist financial accounts. He sold his John Deere equipment. He sold everything. He got rid of everything. Everything. He had to sell everything out of his house and everything. He sold all that he had to go purchase this piece of property. And people probably thought, foolishness. I mean, what? I don't see no value in that. Why is this man doing that? Okay? But this man knew the value of the treasure that was hid in the property, and he was willing to do anything that he possibly could so that he could obtain that treasure. Now, we all know tonight that we cannot buy the kingdom of God. We know that we can't buy truth, although Proverbs talks about buying and wisdom and truth and things, but I think we have to look at the context of that. But the value of the kingdom tonight and the value of truth tonight to me is worth to me anything more than anything in this whole world. The value of the kingdom of God and the value of truth. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by me. And you know, in Titus it says that God cannot lie because he's truth. Okay? And the reason why he can't lie is because he's truth, and truth can't lie because truth is truth. Okay? And you can hear things like the death of truth. That truth has not died. Truth is still truth. Okay? Now, people say that it's died. People try to change truth, and they try to change what the Word of God says, and they try to change what the kingdom of God is, but it doesn't change truth because you can't change truth. Okay? You can't change truth. Truth is truth. And so, truth is the most valuable thing tonight that we have. And the only thing that I can guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt that is absolute truth is this Word of God right here. You know that it's very possible that 75 to 80% of what you read on your social media isn't even truth. In fact, I've heard guys say higher than that. What are you pursuing? Truth? What do I? What is the value of truth tonight? I think it always has been, but as we in the times that we live in, the more that I walk with God, and the more wicked and deceptive this world becomes, the more precious truth becomes to me. Does that make sense tonight? The value of truth. Truth is so much deeper than just living inside of Keystone Standards or whatever it is. I'm not making fun of that. But it's much deeper than that, isn't it, brother? The truth of the kingdom. The story is told of a family a couple who had started a microloan system for the, I think it was in the Philippines. And this microloan system worked like this. You could borrow a small amount of money and you could buy a sow or a gilt or a pig. And as you bought this pig, you could have the pig bred, and of course then she would have babies, and then you would have meat to eat, and you could sell the pigs, and you could pay back this loan, and it was effective. It helped people be able to get on their feet that really didn't have any other means to do that. Well, this brother went over to just check out a little bit how some of these things were working, and he said, the man who led me around, who toured us around looking at some of these things, was a Christian man, and he said he told me a very interesting story. Okay? He said, he said we had a brother in our church that was in this program that you have, and he said he received his pig, and his pig was expecting, and but the pig got really sick, and so they didn't have any money to call a veterinary or anything out, and so they went to the body of believers there. And they said, would you pray that God would heal our pig? And so the brothers all prayed, and God worked a miracle. He healed that pig. And that pig kept on living, and the time started coming for that pig to have babies. And he'd go out each morning, and there wasn't any pigs. And then one morning, he went out, and there he seen them. There was this whole litter of pigs. Have you ever made a vow to God and then found out when it came time to pay that it wasn't quite as easy as when you made the vow? Right? Come on. Right? Yeah. We're all the same families. I know you. Ain't hiding nothing from me. You know? Yeah, God, you helped me out of this, and you know, I was in a grocery store one time, and this guy was in there that he was a little handicapped, I think, but he understood. He thought a lot like we do. He was stacking this salt up, and the salt started falling over, and he said, God help me. And he said, oh, never mind, I got it. He stopped it, you know. But but this guy, so he goes out there, and there's this beautiful litter of pigs. And then he looks over there in the weeds, and there's a dead pig laying over there. And he calls for his wife, Martha, come here, Martha, come here. And she said, what's wrong? Did the sow die? He said, no, no, no. He said, just come here. And he said, this man stood there and had tears running down his face. And he said, honey, look, she had her pigs. But he said, the Lord's pig died. The pig over there that was dead in the weeds, that was the Lord's pig. The living pigs was his. And this brother said, my wife and I thought, what a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. And he said, for years we thought about that story, and we thought, what a hypocrite. I mean, God healed that pig, and that sow had, I don't know how many pigs he had, and he had promised the church and God that he would give the pig to God, and he gave the dead pig and kept the living for himself. And we thought, we thought, wow, what a hypocrite. But he said about 8 or 10 years later, he said, me and my son, he said, we like to do puzzles. And he said, we were in the house one night. He said, getting kind of late. He often had his time with God in the evening. And he said, we really got into this one puzzle. And oh, we really got into it. And he said, we really started putting it together. And he said, it was going good. And we decided we wanted to finish it. And he said, we got done. And oh, we looked at the clock, and it was 11 o'clock. He said, we got the puzzle done. And he said, You know, I looked at the clock and I said, well, I guess it's kind of late tonight and I ain't going to have time to have time with God tonight. And he said, the moment that I said that almost, the Spirit of God said, so my pig died. And his mind went back to that scene there in the Philippines. Brothers and sisters, tonight, when time gets crunched and things get busy in your life, whose pig dies? Mine or God's? How valuable tonight is the kingdom? We want to talk about more of that, the value of the kingdom, as we go through this week. I'll have to admit to you that far too often in my life, God's pigs died. Too often. Too often I've tried to live for this kingdom and mix a little bit of God in with it. I'm not here tonight, and I want you to know this ahead of time. I'm not here tonight or this week to try to make you feel guilty. But I want to challenge you through the Word of God. Because you see, if I make you feel guilty, somebody can make you feel okay. I'm here to challenge you that the Spirit of God would work in your heart. Because when God works in your heart, and you realize that the Lord's pig's been dying in your life, that's powerful. I want to be used of God. I want to see where the Lord's pig's dying in my life instead of me. But, you know, how valuable is truth, and how valuable tonight is the kingdom of God to you? We can say, yeah, it's valuable. I feel in my life that there was too many years. God's been working in my life in some of these very same things. And I know that there was too many times where the kingdom of this world was more important to me than the kingdom of God. So as we go through God's Word this week and we talk about the kingdom and about truth, I want you to think about that every night. I'd like to mention that word every night. Was I intentional today for the kingdom of God? Many of us leave revival meetings. Many of us leave communion services. Many of us leave power-filled times, and we have good intentions. But often we lack being intentional. Okay? I do. We all do. I want to challenge you this week in your walk with God. Let's be intentional. Let's stand together for closing prayer. Father, tonight, sometimes I am humbled and sometimes I feel like I'm not even worthy to preach. But Lord, often the things that I preach are things that you're working on in my own life. I pray, Father, for these dear brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, you love them. You love us all. Lord, I pray that we would be intentional about the value of your kingdom. Intentional about the value of truth and what is truth and spending time with you. And we'll talk about more of these things as we go through the week. God, it'll be a full week. There's young parents here with children, and there's things that are planned, and Lord, it makes it a full week to have every evening or whatever it works out, and the evenings that we come, hopefully most every evening. But God, help us to be intentional, not to come here Terry Myers, but to be intentional for the kingdom this week and to grow in being intentional for the kingdom. God, bless us as we leave from here. Keep us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being intentional. All righty. So maybe a verse of a song in closing.